Back here on the Mighty 690, it is 7:43, and we have joining us in studio State Senator Virgil Pack. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Good morning, James. Hey, it is a great day to be alive in Southeast Kansas. Beautiful spring morning. This time of year is just special. But summer's coming.
That's right. It'll be here soon. Graduation at hand. CCC we have this weekend. We have a lot of the high schools coming up next weekend. So
yep.
It's a busy time.
A lot of graduates out there. Congratulations to the graduates. I remember graduating. I think they had graduation back then.
Maybe a little bit. Just a little bit.
But it's a special time. It's a little bit scary sometimes when you graduate and moving into a new chapter of your life. But a lot of us have been through it. Graduates, you'll make it. Some are excited to move forward into the job or into higher education or whatever, but a lot of graduations going on. Starting tonight, I've got a graduation
okay.
I'm going to. And
very good. Well, I understand there is some talk here about a potential special session. What's the latest on that?
I got an email this week from a senator. I guess three senators have been talking about the fact that we should have a special session to address property tax relief. Good idea. Kind of like it. Now, there's a whole lot of details to be worked out. What exactly would the proposal be? But there's a push to have property tax relief legislative-wise, also make another run at a constitutional amendment to allow citizens to vote should we cap property valuation increases if the citizens want to put that into the Constitution. There's also, as a part of this discussion, this is the really interesting part to me, is the proposal would be to eliminate 20 mills that the state asks local units of government, schools, to assess for education funding. Just eliminate it. Take away that 20 mills. Well, James, that's several hundred million dollars. And so where would that money come from? Well, some people say, well, if we take that away from property taxes, then we need to make it a consumption tax, a sales tax. So increase the statewide sales tax by 0.75. Not real excited about that, but we'll find out. I don't really think a special session would happen. If we did, the proposal is come in for a couple days. We would know ahead of time. Everyone would see the legislation, have a chance to weigh in on it. Come in for a couple days, get it tweaked and passed, sent to the governor. Then we would recess for 2 weeks, allow the governor to put her stamp of approval or disapproval. If she disapproved by vetoing it, then we would come back for a couple days later to look at overriding the veto. That's where the chances really diminish as relates to a special session. Should we do something about property taxes? My goodness, yes, absolutely. We should have, actually, a couple years ago, and that is a lot of frustration by me, several conservatives, as well as property taxpayers. But don't think a special session will happen, but it's an interesting proposal. The reason I don't think it will happen primarily is this is, we're now into campaign season. I know it doesn't seem like it in Kansas, but in Oklahoma you're starting to hear a lot of ads because their primary is coming up really quick. Our primary is not until August. But when we are in session, candidates cannot fundraise. They cannot hold fundraisers. They cannot take money from businesses, from lobbyists, from others. And so that 2 weeks plus period, there's a lot of money that would have been raised, but if we're in session, it wouldn't. So we'll see. I said I don't know that it will really go anywhere, but I'll be willing to sign to call for a special session. And I'm hearing from several others basically the same thing is, well, I won't be a roadblock, but I think you're kind of spinning your wheels here.
Well, and obviously it's not an issue here for the state of Kansas, but I do think it's very interesting that Oklahoma has that state question of the minimum wage increase. I'm sure you heard about that question. They want to raise it up to $15, so that will be on the ballot here in June.
That will also be part of the vote next month in Oklahoma, their primary.
Yeah.
But that's Oklahoma.
Yeah,
so
it doesn't matter to us, but I just think it's interesting. You know, I don't know. I'm sure that's been thrown around a lot in Kansas, but that's not on the ballot here for Kansas side of things. I just think it's very interesting watching what's going on with our neighbors to the south.
And it'll be interesting to see what the vote is on that proposal. You increase minimum wage, you automatically increase the price of goods and services. Because if you go to a fast food restaurant and the workers there are being paid $15 an hour, which is significantly more than they currently are, even if it's only $2 or $3 an hour more, that drives up the price of doing business, which means that your fast food will go up in cost. So there's no free lunch. Well, that sounds interesting, talking about fast
right,
food.
Right. Anyway. So I know that. So we'll see on that special session. I mean, is there any sort of deadline where we have to decide this by? Or I mean, I know it's really up in the air right now.
It's really up in the air. It could actually even be after the primary. The primary is in August, because this whatever we would do as it relates to property taxes would not really kick in until next year when property taxes are due. So this could be an ongoing saga. Now we'll see if there's any interest. I don't think there's really much interest in the House. They're all up for election. The Senate is not up for election. There are several House members who have already announced their retirement, and they keep coming in. Some of these have been surprises, but the House will be significantly different next session than this session. We'll fortunately also have a new governor. Did I say that out loud? Well, I believe that, because I have not been pleased with the current governor, but come January of next year, we'll have a new governor in the state of Kansas.
Speaking with State Senator Virgil Peck here on the Mighty 690, and I know that we did not get to talk with April collections with Representative Blex as we normally do, just kind of how the month fell, but any observations here on the April collections?
Yes, April tax revenue, and Representative Blex usually covers that because he's got the first Friday. Well, the first Friday of May was the first, so the numbers didn't come out until late on the first, so Doug didn't have a chance to visit with you. But the April tax collections continue to be a little bit soft, close to on target, if you will. The total receipts actually were up from expectations. And where the up is in individual income tax collections. We were $31 million higher than expected in individual income tax collections. However, corporate tax collections continue to remain rather bearish. We have... For April, we were $3 million below estimates, which is not a huge number below. But then when you look at the difference between what we collected in 26 versus 25, individual income taxes are still up a lot, $118 million. But corporate taxes are right at $80 million less than expected, or less than compared to last year. I don't really have an answer for that as to reason why. But that's a little bit of a concern. That kind of tells the job market might be a little bit soft. Sales tax collections for the month were down over $4 million, but year to date, they're pretty much spot on. I mean, they're just like a $500,000 off. So we're really close compared to last year. Where I found it a little bit telling or interesting was in the area of other revenues, and that would be our interest. Our state treasurer, Stephen Johnson, does a great job of investing what we call idle funds. This is money that is not spoken for or not encumbered, or it is encumbered, but it isn't. The check hasn't been written. So while we still have the money in our account, we will invest it. For the month, our interest expectations were higher than what we actually received. We expected to receive $22 million. We received $18 million. So we're about $4 million under expectations, and year-to-date, we're at $9 million. So again, the reason that legislators look at this, and it's something that citizens should be aware of, the Kansas legislature bases its budget off of projections. Always frustrated me, James. Why do we base our budget off of projections rather than actual collections? So these numbers I'm giving are actual collections compared to projections. So what is probably better to look at is what did we do last year for the same month or last year at this time for the fiscal year? Because if we would pass our budget based off of previous tax collections, I think it would be a better barometer for us to look at, a better gauge to use for measuring stick to use. I'm going to use all kinds of words to describe, but what would we do as far as a budget? Because the Kansas budget, I'll just use the word out of control. It frustrates me no end that we do not control expenses better than we do. And James, I understand you get to Topeka and you've got a group that wants some funding for something. And you say, well, that's a worthy cause. My question is always, is that a function of government? Because I've had people say, well, this is only a $2 million expenditure. Well, only $2 million. $2 million is $2 million. So I will say, well, is that a function of government? Well, no, but it would be a beneficial thing for this particular area, this particular group of citizens. I got that. just doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. And so we've got to do a better job with budgeting. We will have new House leadership, new governor. I guess I keep hoping, thinking optimistically, that the Kansas legislature will come around, wake up and realize we're spending way too much money when it comes to Kansas taxpayer dollars. And we shall see what we can accomplish as far as reining in spending. But when we look at revenue collections and where we're at, we're close, so we're not in trouble, but we're spending more than we're bringing in. And you can only do that so long, and then it hits the fan and you start to have problems.
We're speaking with State Senator Virgil Peck here on the Mighty 690. And, sir, I know that even though the session has been over, you're still spending some time in Topeka, right?
I am. We are. Just this week, Representative Ron Bryce and I were in Topeka. We have the great privilege, I guess you'd call it a privilege, I don't know, sometimes almost think it's a little bit of a punishment, but we are on the Robert G. Bob Bethel CanCare Oversight Committee. Now, that's a long name for a committee that says, hey, legislators, take a closer look at what is going on with money for our welfare programs, our food stamp programs, disability programs. Make certain that it's being funded efficiently. Make certain that people that are on the program qualify. So we were there just a couple days ago. We have, and I thought I would spend just a little bit of time and go over something, James. We have an Office of Inspector General. And I thought, well, we've got a great guy that is our Inspector General. He's starting to really do a great job in finding inefficiencies, errors, fraud, waste, abuse. And I thought, well, why are we just now? Is this a new position? What's going on here? Well, I did some research. It's not a new position. The Office of Inspector General was created in 2007, and it was put within the Kansas Health Policy Authority. Well, then 4 years later, the Kansas Health Policy Authority, through an ERO, Executive Reorganization Order, was abolished. So that meant that the Office of Inspector General was just no longer had a place, no longer had a home. The Office of Inspector General was put within the Kansas Department of Health and Environment. Now, that position then was vacated in 2014, 3 years later, the Inspector General resigned. And so for 4 years, it sat vacant. Nothing happened. We had this position on the books. Then in 2017, the legislature put the Office of Inspector General within the Attorney General's office, where it currently resides. The Attorney General appointed an Inspector General, but really nothing happened. And then in 2021, so now we are 14 years after this position was created, Attorney General Schmidt, our current Congressman Derek Schmidt, nominated Steve Anderson. Steve Anderson is the current Inspector General. So he has had that position since April of 2021 when he was confirmed by the Senate. That was my first year in the Kansas Senate. 2 years later, the legislature allowed for two full-time special agents to assist the Office of Inspector General, the Inspector General. They hired a criminal consultant and an administrator, administrative investigations and Medicaid fraud. So they started digging into it, started working. This was 23. Okay, now in 25, last session, the legislature expanded the Office of Inspector General's authority to where now that office has oversight of all cash, food, and medical assistance programs. They can audit, they can review, they can investigate. And we approved in 25 three full-time positions. Then this year we approved additional full-time positions. So my point in this, all this information, is the Office of Inspector General is doing a great job. Steve Anderson, a great man, doing a great job, cares about Kansas, wants to make certain that where our taxpayers are supposed to go, they are going, that individuals who should qualify receive benefits. Individuals who should not or do not qualify do not receive benefits. And why does this matter? Well, James, whenever there are individuals who are receiving benefits that are receiving these benefits fraudulently, sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes there's just a lot of fraudsters out there. It's like, really? People don't seem to care about spending taxpayer dollars or abusing taxpayer dollars. But when we take away money when it's going into fraudulent or to non-qualified individuals, those who do qualify, the money's not there. We have had waiting lists. But during we may not, because of getting up close against the clock, may not be able to get into all the details. I would be interested on the fifth Friday when Dr. Representative Bryce is here, because generally Representative Bryce and myself come in on the fifth Friday. And since Representative Bryce is a part of this CanCare Oversight Committee, to talk about quite a few things. But fortunately, we did learn, and I think, James, it's because of the fact that we have an Office of Inspector General who is aggressively looking into programs with these new investigators that we have authorized. I was a little hesitant to authorize these positions, but it's one of those things, you spend a little money, you spend a few hundred thousand dollars for several positions, and they can find fraud, waste, and abuse to the tune of millions of dollars. So it saves money. And so we're finding that to be the case. But what I started to say was, it looks like finally Kansas Department of Aging and Disability Services, Kansas Department of Health and Environment have realized, you know, we're going to have to do a better job. So they're looking into programs, and they have started finding areas within themselves that, you know, we're kind of not being real efficient here. We're wasting money.
Well, we'll talk about it here in a couple of weeks.
We'll get into a little more details, but this way, I guess, we sort of lay the foundation, set the table for what we're going to talk about on the 29th.
State Senator Virgil Peck.